The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.
The number of students caught cheating in 2024 state exams was more than double the number in 2023. And that's according to figures released by the State Examinations Commission. So what's behind the spike in cheating and what happens to those who are caught in the act? News Talk Sarah Madden is with me now. Sarah, good morning.
Morning, Pat.
So the number of students caught cheating in the state exams doubled.
Yeah, that is according to the SEC, as you said. So 86 results were withheld during 2024's Leaving Cert cycle, and that's compared with only 39 from the year before. And on top of that 86, a further 12 have been provisionally withheld, pending what the SEC says is further communication with the schools and the candidates concerned. Now, regarding the junior cycle, Pat, 24 exam scores were permanently withheld, which is low, but it's well over double the figure of 10 from 2023. For a bit of perspective, Pat, almost 61,000 students sat their Leaving Cert last year. So 86 or even 98, if it is that, out of 61,000 is very little. But that said, those numbers only detail the people who were actually caught, presumably leaving out those who got away with it. So I went out on the streets of Dublin yesterday to ask people if they had ever cheated at any point in their own academic careers.
Maybe in a test I would have. Like, you know, in a maths test when I wasn't very good, I would have looked over at somebody's, the really intelligent girl beside me. But other than that, no, never. My conscience, definitely. I'm too much of a goody two-shoes. Always played by the rules, so no, I wouldn't.
Yep, sure, of course. I do sometimes cheat on exams. I used Google. I wrote something on my hand the last time I was taking an exam.
Would you never be scared you'd be caught?
Ah, it's going to be all right. What are they going to do?
I was 2020 graduate, and I think it was for the mocks. A few of the exams got released then. Some people used them, I didn't.
People used to put in the calculator, you know, the cover of it. People used to hide stuff in there. Sounds a bit ingenious when you think about it. You know, plastic bag in a cistern or something like that.
Definitely seen people cheat, yeah, on things like their Apple Watch, or I guess like now exams are online, so a lot with like AI and just doing it at the same time. I've definitely cheated in an online exam, yeah.
And how would you go about that?
They just don't check. So you can just open up another tab if you're doing like an MCQ and yeah, kind of just cheat that way.
It's interesting. I'm actually a professor at a university in the States, and I deal with this a lot now with AI and writing papers. A lot of times when I detect that kind of plagiarism in writing, students will say that they didn't have enough time to do the work, you know, to actually take the time to do their research, so they cut and paste from other sources. So I think a lot of times people feel pressured and they don't take enough time to prepare, and then they are trying to finish and they unfortunately make choices that are fast but not necessarily honest.
I don't know. I suppose people are nervous, people get stressed, and people make mistakes. And
you're not admitting to it?
No, I'm not admitting that.
People must get caught up on it, because you have to have done, I would have thought you'd have to have done some prep in order to do the cheating in the first place. So maybe they get caught up in doing that rather than doing the study.
If you want to be there and doing an exam, you obviously want to do well. The people who don't give a damn wouldn't even be there in the first place. Like, you know what I mean? So maybe there is some pressure there. You want to do well, whether it's for your parents or your peers. But I think continuous-based assessment is better than exams, because as long as that level of examination is there, I don't think you're ever going to get people who won't cheat.
So lots of different views on cheating in schools and universities from both honest and dishonest people. Do we know, by the way, the methods and means employed by those who were caught cheating on the state exams last year? What did they do?
Yes. Well, the SEC doesn't actually give details on individual cases, but they have said that results were withheld for a number of different reasons, including possession of notes or the use of unauthorised electronic devices. So that's going to include mobile phones, but also smartwatches. To learn more about the current trends in cheating, I spoke with Carl O'Brien, the education editor at the Irish Times, who also told me more about what happens once a cheating student is caught.
Certainly, you know, one issue which has arisen in the past has been impersonation. You know, someone going in to sit an exam on behalf of another candidate. And that has happened, and that has led to results being, you know, permanently withheld, and has led to inquiries and so on. You've also had, you know, examiners that when they're correcting scripts, then finding notes that might have been used improperly by candidates in their exam papers. So that's a kind of clear evidence that cheating was taking place as well. So you have exam invigilators who are also tasked with identifying any candidate that might be using a prohibited item. And if they do find evidence of that, they are then required to submit a report of the incident to the State Examinations Commission. And they have to provide whatever evidence they have of alleged cheating. And then it's up to the State Examinations Commission. For example, if there were notes involved, it would require submitting that evidence. Or if there was a digital device, potentially that could be confiscated as well. And then ultimately it's down to the State Examinations Commission to examine that. They will give a student an opportunity to respond, or indeed the school, if that's relevant as well. And then they will come to a determination there. I don't think there's any restriction on resitting it. Really, the only people who will ultimately know about it is the student and the school. And it is just a big disadvantage, certainly for a lot of candidates looking for points in what's a very competitive race, you know, to get into a lot of more prestigious college courses, especially.
So from Apple Watches to impersonation, the attempts are certainly quite brazen, aren't they?
They are. They seem to be getting more and more brazen. But I'm sure most teachers out there are going to have their own anecdotes, you know, inventive cheating attempts they've seen in Christmas or maybe summer exams. And personally, I do remember a boy in my year. He was at another school, but he wore a hoodie during his mocks and he claimed it was for concentration. But actually, he had earphones in that were playing recordings of his essays. And definitely in my own school, I do remember maths formulas being sort of scribbled on everything from, you know, erasers or even water bottle labels or maybe even on girls' thighs. And, you know, a bit of theatrical itching during an exam, you can kind of get a glance. But these exams are supposed to prepare students for proper conduct in their state examinations. And having rules against cheating and actually enforcing them can be quite different things. It's often tricky for teachers, as Spanish, German and French teacher James Dempsey told me. He's worked as an invigilator twice for the junior cert.
It was actually mortifying for me, right? So last time I invigilated, I had a huge centre and I was sort of looking at the students as I was walking past them. From the vantage point I had, it looked like there was like a phone case in a student's pocket, right? Like it was this, you know, rectangular curved line, yellow line that would be absolutely aligned to a phone case. And like, you know, I spotted it and thought, is that a phone? You know, so I did another round. Is that a phone? So on my fourth go round, I sort of said, well, if it's a phone, I really have to deal with this. So I sort of kneeled down beside her and said, is that a phone in your pocket? And to my absolute mortification, it was the pattern of the tartan in her skirt. Now, look, the main outcome from this was, to any of the students who were around her when this process was going on, at least it looked like I was on the hunt for phones. That's the positive spin I'm taking away. As a working teacher, let's say I was in a Christmas exam. If I had a suspicion that a student in the room was cheating, even if I had a smoking gun in my hand, I would be extremely reluctant to even use the language cheating, lest a parent become incredibly agitated at this and say, you're saying my daughter, my son is a cheater, blah, blah, blah. I would be extremely cautious in my approach about anything I said about this, even with a smoking gun. Secondly, I think that there is just a general sense of the ease at which potentially one might cheat in an exam now, because they do it all the time during their school days. So I feel like students now are more confident about simply going out and looking up answers in a toilet. And we as invigilators can only present what the rules are, enforce them whenever we can, and hope that we have well-behaved students sitting in front of us, upstanding students who aren't going to do it.
And that's teacher James Dempsey, familiar from the Moncrief Show, of course, his own views on academic fraud and its apparent rise. Are there any other factors, do you think, Sarah, that might have given rise to last year's cheating spike?
Well, it is interesting to look at this in its wider context. Okay, so today we've been mainly focusing on second level cheating. But in recent years, there has been an elevated concern over the use of AI and indeed essay mills at Irish third level institutions. And if we look globally, there have been high profile college admission scandals, for example, in the States, while in China, Exam cheating was so prolific that it actually was made into a criminal offence a couple of years ago, which is punishable by up to 7 years in prison. Leslie Shoemaker, she's a counselling psychologist and she's also a lecturer in TU Dublin. And she told me she has sympathy for some of those chancing it, particularly with the heightened pressure of the CAO points race.
There's all sorts of motivations. I mean, obviously there are going to be people who are saying, can't be bothered to study, I can outsmart the system, I'm going to cheat. There are other individuals, whether it be pressure from within the family or their own internal pressure of wanting to do well, what they'll do is cheat just to make sure they do really, really well. And the intention I get, but it's still cheating, unfortunately. And then you'll have other individuals, whether it be sickness or other circumstances, just haven't been able to apply themselves to their studies and they know that they need to pass this. And unfortunately, in those cases, they'll cheat as well. I think for some individuals, it's almost a sign of bravado. It's like, ha, 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 look what I can do. I'm anti-authority. And then for other people, it's a real source of shame and guilt and, you know, regret of having done it. I think it just depends upon the circumstances and build up of that person and how they're looking at it. But the reality is, as human beings, if you don't get caught doing something, like say, for example, you forget to scan something at the self-scan at the supermarket. It's like, oh, I don't have to do that. The reality is you'll probably do it again, again and again. Until you finally get caught. Once that action, that behavior happens once, it makes it easier to do it a second time. Once you've done it a second time, it makes it easier to do a third, fourth, and fifth time. And if people who cheat put in even half the time and the effort into the study, they'd be fine. It's an awful lot of effort to plan that you're going to cheat, to figure out how you're going to cheat, to develop the cheat sheet or whatever it is that you're going to do, and then execute it. That's an awful lot of time, energy, and angst, in my opinion. I would be so nervous I couldn't do it. And yet, if you channeled that into doing your studies, you'd be fine.
That's Leslie Shoemaker, a lecturer in TUD. Great report, Sarah. Some of the comments coming in. In 2004, I cheated at an exam in CIT, which is now MTU. I was caught in an early stage and my paper, along with the offending cognote, was taken away and a new exam paper issued to me. I was told to restart the exam ASAP. Through tears and fear, I scurried to complete the paper and got a result of 89%. But irrespective of this, the CIT Board of Examination Management decided to make an example of me and I was made repeat that year. It was the best thing to happen to me at such an early stage. It gave me such a scare. I did everything I could to make it up to my parents and continued with my studies, achieving ultimately first class honours in my undergrad and later in my master's. The reason I cheated, to this day I don't know. I was a good student. I guess I wanted the cognote as insurance. Another one. My children witnessed fellow Leaving Cert students writing answers on their bodies prior to exams and then going to the toilet at mid-exam to check out the answers. That's a fairly standard procedure, I'd imagine. But what can an invigilator do? Can't have cameras in the toilet.
No, you can't pat them down coming in.
No. All right, Sarah, thank you very much for that.
The Pat Kenny Show.
With Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.